It's 1st of December, and this is actually the first Sunday of Advent, and I could preach messages on Advent Sunday, and it's a powerful series of messages that could be preached and taught on Advent Sunday, but I'm not going to go there, so forgive me if you were expecting an Advent message. But what I am going to preach to you is, as we're here in the 1st of December, I'm already thinking about, now, have I thought about all the Christmas stuff we've got to do? No, I haven't thought all about it. But I'm already thinking about out in 2019 and for us as a church. And this month, and as we go into January, you're going to hear so much about 2019. And I'm, you know, when I worked in the common workplace, if you want to call it that, my job for many years was a production planner, and some of the work that I did, I actually had to plan 2 and 3 years in advance in scheduling and ordering and things like that. And I don't say I'm real good at it, but it's just part of my nature after doing that so many years to begin to think about not just where we're going to be next week and what we're going to be doing next Sunday, but what are we going to be doing into 2019? What are we going to be doing beyond 2019, but I will start with 2019, and I've entitled this message Above and Beyond. And that is sort of going to be a theme for us, if you would. That's going to be an objective for us. We're going to go above and beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. We're going to go above and beyond anything that we've ever done in the past. And this church has a tremendous legacy going back into that era of time when Don Elliott was pastor here, and then when our current bishop, Preston Matheno, was pastor here, and there's been other many great pastors as well. But I believe that there is a season that is upon us. We're living in it right now where we can go above and beyond and be everything that God wants us to be. And the former days, the latter days will exceed the former days. I believe that. And I'm excited about 2019. This week, in fact, marks our fourth anniversary in the beginning of the 5th year of Sarah and myself here as pastor at Voice of Praise Worship Center. And that's unbelievable when we sit down and think about it, you know, because this seems like just a few months ago that we arrived here. Some of you are looking at me and saying, Lord, it seems like you've been here forever, I just tell you. No. But during these past 4 years, we've shared a lot of times with you. We've shared times of distress. We've shared through sickness and mourning. We've rejoiced with you in life accomplishments and graduations. We've rejoiced with you in weddings. We've rejoiced with you in births. We've rejoiced with you in successes. And during that time, we have also done a whole lot right around here in this building that you're sitting in this morning. Back, it's not the exact date, but 4 years ago last night, Saturday night before our first Sunday here, Sarah and I decided, Mike Dillo, I think, was the council member that handed us the key to the church and gave a code to the burglar alarm. And we had come for an interview. We had come and went in one room, and we had come and preached. And I told Sarah, I said, let's ride over and check things out. Now, you might look at me and say, well, that wasn't too wise. Why didn't you do that before you accepted the position? And we came over on that Saturday evening, and I began to look around, and there was nothing wrong with anything in its time. Don't misunderstand me. But you could tell, you know, the turquoise with the dark blue splotched walls, you know, it was from water leaks that occurred, and then we begin to open rooms, and one room smelled like, do you know how your shoe closet smells when you open the door? Okay, there you go. And we begin to open one place in particular. I went to open the door, and I had to do this to even get the door open. And it's took a lot of work, and it's took a lot of commitment. And this is not a resignation message, okay? So don't Sometimes I thought I'm resigning. But it's took a lot of work and it's took a lot of effort. It's took a lot of finance. But we have accomplished so much in bringing up to speed the facilities that you call your church over the past 4 years. And the Lord's blessed us with the ability and the finances to do that, but He's done that through you. And what I want you to do right now is just give yourself a hand for bringing us through the Lord's help to where we are right now. Because, pardon the expression, it's an old cigarette commercial, and I know none of you all ever watched the cigarette commercials. You turned your TV off back in that day. But in that old cigarette commercial, it said, "We've come a long way, baby." And we have in these past 4 years. We've seen some new people come. We have seen some go, but it hasn't been too many. And I thank God for that. So as we begin this fifth year of ministry together, I'm really anxious. In typical ministry environments, the fifth year of a pastorate between years 5 and 10 proved to be some of the most fruitful years of any pastoral tenure. So I'm highly anxious to begin this fifth year here at Voice of Praise Worship Center. By now, you know us and we know you at least relatively well. But I want us to continue to do the best, absolute best, that we possibly can, maintaining our facilities, but I also want us to focus on people that are not only equipped with a facility to do ministries, but we are also people ourselves equipped to do ministry, and that we are doing ministry. And by that I mean that we be more than just having church. Because sometimes that's what Pentecostals like to do, is just have church. So, I envision Voice of Praise Worship Center not as just a church in the community. Can I tell this? Two Sunday nights ago, we had Chosen Road here and on Sunday night, and we thank God for the wonderful attendance that night. I've heard so many people tell me how much they enjoyed that night of worship the weekend before Thanksgiving. But you know, Jonathan Campbell, the guy that stood back here and was playing the bass, when Jonathan, I've been acquainted with him for several years, and he lives in Mountain City, Tennessee, and he drives to Princeton, you know, most every weekend to gather up with his band when they go out to do concerts and what have you. And Jonathan, he was the first one to get here. He said, "Man, this is a beautiful church." He said, "This is a beautiful sanctuary." And this is a guy that travels all over the American, and even this year they've been around the world, carrying out the gospel and music. He said, "Man, this is an awesome facility." He said, "I've been driving by this place for 9 years and didn't even know it was here." I said, "Jonathan, get up and say that." In Bluewell that don't know we're here. They might say there's that building up on the hill, but they don't know anything about it. And they don't really know too much about anybody that gathers here on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night. We just take for granted everybody knows that we're here. But quite honestly, they don't. So I envision Voice of Praise as not just being a church building in the community, but I envision us being a church that is active and operating. And church means you, not this building. A church that is active and operating in this community. That's rubbing shoulders with the people that need help. That's rubbing shoulders with the people that maybe don't need help, but they're unchurched. And people that are unsaved. And I envision us to taking on that task. But here's what I got to say to you this morning. Sarah and I can't do it alone. It's got to be us as a church. And it's got to be all of us together. And I like that acronym. I didn't prepare it this morning to bring up, but TEAM, T-E-A-M. TEAM means together, everyone accomplishes more. I started to get a bullet out of my gun safe and paint it silver and put it in my pocket and pull it out about right now. And I didn't do that. mainly because I didn't have any silver paint. And I started to pull that bullet out and show it to you guys this morning and say, you know what? I don't have any silver bullets. I didn't come here with any silver bullets. I didn't come here with all the answers and all the help and I didn't come here to do all the ministry of this church. I just simply came to be pastor. But the silver bullet lies within our relationship with Jesus Christ and our hearts being full of the Holy Ghost and our ambition and our desire to go out and to seek and to save those which are lost, which just like Jesus said for us to do. And I believe we can do it. I believe we are doing it. But I think we can step it up. This morning I want to preach to you. This is a stewardship message. And I know stewardship sometimes scares people to death. But it shouldn't. There's three main principles of giving that I want to preach to you about this morning. The three main principles of giving that I want to preach to you about. Number one is your giftings and your talents. You are responsible. And I combine those two, so there's two in one there. Your giftings, your talents. You've got them. You have them. The next one is your time. We all have it. I'm going to touch on that in just a moment. And then in our finance, there's three major areas that we are given charge and responsibility to be good stewards of. Giftings and talents, time, and our finance. God most often uses the most unlikely people in unlikely capacities. Okay? You know, oftentimes you and I get discouraged about participating because we don't think that we have any of those, we can't give in any or all of those areas. But the reality of it is we can. We can. We can give in any of those areas. Because we all possess it to some degree. Some may have some giftings that look greater, more of a greater capacity than others. Some of you may have more time than others. Some of you may have more finance. But what I'm preaching to you about is stewardship, and it's about managing what we've got, and that's all God asks us to do. So most often, God almost often uses people with unlikely capacity. He may use you. You may think, my talent is not as polished as someone else's talent. My time is not as significant as someone else's time. My finance is not as significant. But God wants to use you. In an illustration, we see that we can look in the scripture at a widow woman that had a barrel that was out of meal and oil. She was out of meal. She was out of oil. But the man of God came to her. He said, take what you have and fix the cake for me. And you all, most of you all have heard this story and you know what I'm talking about. She was planning on fixing a cake of bread out of that meal and oil. She and her son were going to eat it and then they were going to go off somewhere and die physically because of a famine that was in the land. But the man of God, which is representative of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, he says, no, I want you to take that meal and oil that you have left. I want you to fix me a cake and I'm going to eat it and you will not lack. And I don't believe, I've said this to you before, this is totally my mindset, my theology, my imagination. I don't think that little woman's barrel ever bubbled over and had meal running out of the top down all over the cabinet into the floor. I don't imagine that at all. To me, that's not necessary. But every single day when that little woman went back to that barrel and she pulled that lid off and she looked in it, there was another cup of meal. It was provision every single day for her to have what she needs. And then we saw in the New Testament an illustration of a little boy that didn't have but two fish and five loaves. Now let me tell you, that little boy was remarkable because if I'd have went fishing all day long, I still wouldn't have had two fishes. Okay? It would have been a miracle for me to have two fish, let alone to take two fish and five loaves and feed 5,000 men plus the wives and the kids that were hanging out too. And if we take that in a reasonable measure, over 15,000 people were fed from what little provision that this little boy had because God was able to use it and He was willing to give it. And then we read the story about a lady that poured out her greatest possession. She pours out her perfumed oil. She breaks that box and she pours out that oil, which was basically was her financial life substance, and she pours it out all over Jesus. Wow. And all three instances, there are people that just took what they had, even though they didn't seem, listen, these weren't people that were wealthy. It wasn't people that were highly educated, apparently. It wasn't people that were, that had been successful in this or that, or had polished talents. It was just common people that had common gifts, and God wanted to use them, and when he beckoned them, they submitted to him, and that's an important word to us this morning, is submission. And God took those three instances of commonality and used them to do great miracles. So you and I have a stewardship of our giftings and talents. As we use our giftings and talents, I want you to understand this. There are no hidden gifts. Let me explain myself to you just a minute. There are no hidden gifts in any of us. In fact, Matthew 5 and 15, we find that Jesus talks about a city that's set on a hill. A city doesn't light a lamp to just put a basket over that lamp. And he did not illuminate. And listen, if you're saved, you are illuminated for Jesus. It's not should be. If you're saved, especially if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are illuminated for Jesus. And he didn't intend for you to turn the light on and then to cover it up. In other words, what we have, and you know, we used to do it in real simple terms. We used to say, this little light of mine, come on choir, this little light of mine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I love that one verse. Hide it under a bushel, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You see, God called us and He gave us giftings and talents, and yours are different than mine and mine are different than yours, but whatever He's given us, He's called for us to let it shine. There's people that you will speak to that I will never reach. There's people that I'll reach that you may not. There's things that I can do that you can't do, but there's things that you can do that I can't do. And listen to this. God has called us to use those things for the glory and the honor of the kingdom of God. And we will only make a difference if we utilize what God has given us. That's what I mean. There are no hidden gifts. There are no hidden gifts. When we look at Matthew 25, there's a parable there of a man that was going away, and he gave three divisions of talents. He gave one man five, one man two, and one man received only one. They were distributed to these men. And the one that was given the least was the negligent one. The one that was given the most did the most with it. But the one that had the least was the one that didn't do anything with it. He said, I know you're a hard man. I know you judge hard. So I took my talent and I hid it. And I'll just bring the one back that you gave me. While the other two multiplied what God had given them. And when we look there, we find in this parable that the king, if you would, he brought wrath and he brought judgment upon the one that had hid his talent and said, I'm going to take the one that you didn't use and I'm going to give it to the one with the most, and you will find yourself in outer darkness. Wow. So when we fail to use, even if it doesn't look like it's much, when we fail to use what God has given us to use, let me tell you something. God is not pleased with it, is what that parable is telling us. God is not satisfied. Whatever He's given us, listen, you are not responsible for what somebody else does with their talent, but you're responsible for what God's given you. And it's up to you. You're the only person that can use it. You're the only person that knows what it is, and God is the only person that will judge it, because it's not up to someone else to judge your talent. Boy, okay. And here's where we're at. And I don't mean this in the literal sense, okay? No one else can sing your song quite like you can. You know, I got this. Y'all know I like music. I like all genres of music. There's even some rap music I like if it's clean. I like not a whole lot of it, but some of it. I like jazz. You know, I like blues. I like bluegrass. I like contemporary gospel. I like southern gospel. I like some of the hymnal music. I like it all. I think music is a wonderful gift that God has given to the world. But you know what? Something that I have this pet peeve of mine. I have a pet peeve. When somebody writes a song, whether it's a secular song or it's a gospel song, I got this pet peeve. Nobody can sing a song like the person that wrote it. Nobody can sing a song like the person that wrote it. And you know what? Nobody can sing your song like you can. Nobody can do what God's given you to do like you can do. It's all up to you and it's all up to me that we sing the song that God has given us. And then, as we go into the stewardship of time, we've all been given the same allotment. Every single one of us have the same amount of time. How many times have I said it? Thousands, who knows, millions of times perhaps. Hundreds of thousands at least. When I've said to somebody, they'll say, why don't you do da 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 da? And I'll say, oh, I don't have as much time as you do. That's a lie. It's a false expression of speech. Every one of us in this room has the same amount of time. The only difference is the amount of time that we make ourselves available and the stewardship of our time. Now I realize some of us have different work schedules. Some of us work two jobs maybe. There's things like that that come into play. But I also realize this, that all of us, every one of us have the same amount of time. We have an equal portion. But what the Lord is asking us to do in the giving of our time is, in essence, is the giving of ourself. When I read Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I find there that Paul wrote to the church at Rome that the giving of our bodies is reasonable service. God just don't... Listen, money's important. Don't get me wrong. Talents are important. But God needs your time. God wants your time. He gave you your time. The least you could do is give it back to Him, amen? And I'm going to preach to you about a principle we call tithe here in a little bit, but have you ever thought if we just tithe our time back to God, out of 24 hours a day, wonder if we could just give God 2.4 hours a day to prayer and to study and service. Wonder what would happen if we gave a tenth of our time every single day to God. Wow. That's pretty remarkable to think about, isn't it? But we all have that same allotment of time. The difference in you and I as we sit in this room or the ones watching by Facebook Live or listening by Extreme Radio, Voice Radio this morning, the only difference in our time is how we manage it. There's some truth in that because I make myself busy. Sometimes the devil would rather for us to be busy than he would to be bad. Did you know that? Because if he can have us busy, he don't have to make us bad. Because in busyness, we don't follow through and be the servants of God that he's called us to be. And we find ourselves consumed with all of our time and energy going to other things other than kingdom purpose. Pastor, you're talking about like being fanatical. Well, I don't know if you want to call it fanatical or not, but I'll tell you one thing. Jesus was fanatical about you and I, and He gave of His time. He gave Himself on the cross, and He abandoned heaven just to come here and to live and die for 33 years on this earth and then rose again. So He gave everything He had for us. So should I be radical about serving Him? Should I be radical about my giftings? Should I be radical about my time? Should I be radical about my finance when it comes to the service of the Lord? Absolutely. Because He is deserving. We know we don't mind giving Him our praise when we come in. We don't mind lifting our hands. We don't mind singing our songs. But don't mess with my giftings. Don't mess with my time. And definitely don't mess with my money, God. I know this makes you want to shout. Without our time and our talent, our giftings are going to remain dormant. Did you hear me? You can have all the giftings in the world, but if you don't give of your time to allow those giftings to work in your life, if I don't give of my time to allow those giftings to work in my life, and I've been listening to some of these people up in McDowell County. If Ewans don't get this yet, what I'm talking about more time than just showing up to church for an hour on Sunday morning. Amen? Because most of you spend more time in front of the TV or on your phones or on your iPad or on your, and me included, or on your PC than you do in church. If all of our time is just what we give on church on Sunday morning, we're not giving a whole lot to the kingdom of God. And if that's all we're giving, I can promise you this, God is not getting the most of your talent for 1 hour on Sunday morning. He's not getting the most out of you. I gotta move on. I won't be done for 1 o'clock. Let me share this scripture with you though. 1 Peter chapter 4. Listen to what Peter instructs us in. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. Listen to me. You can't serve God without serving people. Coming to church is not serving God. Coming to church is coming to worship and praise. Coming to church, now maybe if the pastor, the worship team people, maybe if you're facilitating life groups or if you're a youth leader, there is some servanthood in some of that capacity. But for the average person that walks in just to sit and walk in to the worship service as we call it, you're really not here serving God. You're here to receive of worship and praise. Serving God happens when we begin to serve people. If you walk into a restaurant when we dismiss here after a while, if you walk into Cracker Barrel and the waitress, if she walks by your table and serves everyone else around you, yes, she's there, she showed up, but she's not served you, what's going to happen with you? If you don't be like me, my wife will say, I don't go talk to the manager. I'll say, nah, I ain't talking to no manager. I don't get up and I don't walk out and leave a penny on the table for a tip. As a message. Okay? But how many times and how often do we serve God outside the parameters of showing up for church an hour? Maybe 2 hours. Maybe 3 hours. Maybe 4 hours in a week. Are we out there in the highways and the hedges compelling people to come in? Oh, I gotta move on. Each of you use his gift as you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God give us grace. He didn't give us grace. We sing about amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It's His amazing grace. He gives us His grace to dispense it. Are you with me? He gives us His grace to dispense it. And He says that, and Peter says there in various forms. If anyone speak, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So we find ourselves as stewards of our gifting and our time, and we are dispensers of grace to people that are all around us. Let me tell you something. If you're already saved, God's grace grace is amazing. And if you're saved, you've got enough grace of God that you're secure and you're going to make it to heaven. I believe that with all my life. I don't believe you can get any more saved than you are getting saved. But you understand this with me this morning. Who we're to be dispensing grace to is the lost. Those that do not believe. Those who are not following Christ. Those who are bound for eternity in hell. There for everlasting destruction in fire. We are supposed to be dispensers of grace. We are supposed to be distributing grace unto those who are lacking. This is good preaching. And then lastly, our stewardship of finance. Our stewardship of finance. As we think about the stewardship of finance, there's two forms of giving. The first form of giving is what we call tithe. Anybody got a bunch of wands in this place? Any of y'all got a bunch of wands in your wallet? Anybody got 10 wands? I need 10 wands. Y'all got big bills. Glory to God. I only have 2, so I don't have 10s. I'm not going to keep them, okay? But I want to share with you some. I want to share with you an understanding about tithing. Statistics say, church statistics in America says this, that only 10% of Christians that are active, whether they're members or not, membership really has nothing to do with it. Only 10% of Christians actually tithe. You have 10 ones? Okay. All right. Here's 10 ones. I don't walk past you there, John, a minute. Here's 10 ones. I'll give them back. I may even give you, I'll give you some interest on it. I'll give you one of my 2. Alright, here's 10 ones. Let me explain to you the principle of tithing. The principle of tithing is the giving of first fruits. Okay? The principle of tithing is the giver of first fruits. So what happened, it is actually tithing is the returning of the first fruit. Now they just give me 10 $1 bills, okay? They gave me 10 $1 bills. They didn't owe it to me. They just gave it to me. I'm going to return them. But they just gave me 10 $1 bills. Tithe in itself, that word actually means a tenth. Okay? So in essence, come up here, man. So in essence, these 10 $1 bills, they gave them to me. I didn't work for them. I didn't do anything. They were just gracious enough to give me 10 $1 bills. Okay? So what I do out of these 10 $1 bills, I'm so appreciative of the gift that you just gave me of 10 $1 bills, I give out of appreciation. I say, I'm going to give you that back for the gift that you give me. I keep the 9, he gets the 1, and I have blessed him not because of obligation, not because of anything, but just simply, I love you. I so love him so much and how he has blessed me. I said, I'm going to take out of what you bless me with, I'm going to give you a tenth of it back because I love you and I appreciate you that much. You see, and that's the principle of tithing. It's the giving back of the first fruits. It's not an obligation here. I'm going to give you some interest. That's all I got. Sorry. Sarah didn't give me any money this week. That's the principle of tithing. It's the giving back of the first fruits. Tithing is an act of obedience, okay? In Leviticus 27:30, the Bible tells us that a tithe of everything belongs to the Lord, and it is a holy to the Lord. So whatever God has blessed us with, whether it's finance, whether it's our time, it's our health, whatever God has blessed us with, we give a tenth of it back in a tithe principle to Him in honor of the blessing that He's given us. Because in reality, everything that is belongs to Him anyway. So it's the financial operational structure of the church, because we find the scripture says that bring your full tithe into the storehouse. And in that day, it could have been one of 10 lambs, but you brought the best lamb. If you had 5 sacks or 10 sacks of grain, you brought 1 sack of grain. And bring your tithe to the storehouse, because that is the operational means in God's design of finance for the church, if you enter the storehouse. In essence, let me share this with you. Tithing is not faith giving. Tithing is not faith giving. Okay? Two different things, and we'll talk about that in just a second. Tithing is not faith giving. Tithing is just blessing God back with a tenth of what He's blessed you with. Because it came from Him anyway. But then, what we find is offerings. And offerings are specifically named in Scripture. Offerings fall under that category of faith giving, if you would. Offering giving is that act of faith, and it's giving is sacrificial, if you would. And listen to this: giving beyond that part of tithe is actually exemplifying Jesus Christ. Because Jesus gave everything that He had for you. Again, heaven was bankrupt for you. You said, well, I didn't ask anybody to do it. No, He just loved you that much. You didn't have to ask. He loves you more than you love yourself. And He bankrupt heaven in order, if you would, in order that He could come, in order that you may be saved. And when we read how Paul, this is some lengthy scriptures, but mark this in your script. Mark this one in your Bibles. If you didn't mark anything else, mark this one. 2 Corinthians 8. Listen to this. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Macedonia lays up in the area, still does today, lies up in the area around Greece. Several hundred miles, the way I understand it, above Jerusalem. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme, listen to this, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up. How can extreme poverty swell up in generosity? I mean, is Paul stupid or is what? What is the matter with it? I shouldn't have said stupid. They taught my grandkids that was a bad word. Is that ridiculous or what? In the midst of a severe trial. Now, the severe trial is not with the Macedonians. The severe trial, when you read this, is not with them as well. It's the people in Jerusalem. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Hello. Does that make sense? No. Does everything have to make sense with God? No. In fact, if it makes sense with God, it probably is not really necessarily a God moment. You see, because God is a God of supernatural abilities and supernatural means. And the Macedonian people, they gave more than they even had to give. And I don't know how it worked out. I don't know how it worked out for that little lady in the wheelbarrow, other than saying it was a God moment. I don't know how it worked out with the little boy with the 2 fish and 5 loaves, other than saying it was a God moment. I don't know how it worked out with the lady that broke her perfume box open, other than saying it's a God moment. But when we will give all that we've got and more, God will show up, He will work, and He will bless, and He will minister in our lives if we will only put Him to test. And He, in fact, invites us to do so when He says, test the Lord. He said, see if He won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon you that you can't contain. I can preach this and smile. This their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service of the Lord's people. Let me say what Paul just said. Paul said, on their own. on their own. Doesn't say that there was some supernatural move of the Holy Spirit overtook them. It was just the love of God that was instilled in the hearts of the Macedonian people. And because the love of God and the love for the church that they had, they didn't wait for somebody to ask them for money. They just went and said, hey, we don't have a lot, but what we have, remind me of some other old boys that said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. Get up and walk. And we saw that in this Macedonian people that they were just willing to say, whatever we have, we're giving it. It's a privilege to share in this because this is the Lord's business and these are the Lord's people and we're just going to bless them. Thank you for the woo. And verse number 5. And they exceeded our expectations. They exceeded our... Have you ever read this verse of Scripture before? They exceeded our expectations. They give themselves first of all to the Lord. Woo. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything in faith, now this, he's talking to the Corinthians now. You excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. What Paul just said to the Corinthian church is, if these Macedonian people who didn't have nothing can love Jesus so much and give so much out of their lack, he said, then I'm sending Titus over here and just as you've already heard, and he said, because you all have been blessed, the Corinthians carried themselves as being spiritually elite people. He says, because so I expect you to see the example of the Macedonians and for you to exceed them in their giving. Hello. He said, I'm not commanding you, but I want you to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Hello. Woohoo. No explanation needed. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do, use your talents and giftings, to do also. To do so. But finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. What Paul was saying to the Corinthian church is, it's not over with. It didn't end. It didn't end with this one shot in the arm. It didn't end with you just stepping up to the plate one time. But it's continuing and it's ongoing. He said, for the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to one, what one does not have. Did you catch that? The gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. God's not asking you to give what you don't give, what you don't have. But He's asking you to be faithful over what you do have. Whether it's a gifting, whether it's your time, or whether it's your finance. God's just saying, you need to be good stewards of what you have, what I have. We're called to that. So the future is in our hands. Bear with me. The future is in our hands. Voice of Praise Worship Center. The future is in our hands. Lord, I don't have but 45 more minutes. Y'all stay with me. I'm just kidding. The future is in our hands. Where there is no vision, amplified version, where there is no vision, that means no revelation of God and His Word. The people are unrestrained. If we don't live in an unrestrained society in America right now, we've never lived in one before. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. You understand this? It is the church. We are called to be salt and light. And it is up to the church, it's up to you and I, to go and to dispense grace, the revelation, if you would, of Jesus Christ into this world. Because they don't know grace. We're the ones that know grace. And it's our responsibilities to share it into the world. And we can't wait on the world to come to us because it's not going to happen. The days of cultural And social church as a necessity is past and gone, or past and gone in America. So it's time that you and I get more involved, giving of ourselves with passion and dedication. It's time for us, if you would, to go above and beyond all that God's given us to do and called us to do. It's time for us to raise up ministry leaders. We need support people. We need some people to go out into the streets and up the hollers and up in some of these dirt roads and even up in the four-wheeler trails, if you would. Wherever you can find a nook or a cranny, here in Mercer County, Tazewell County, up into McDowell County, it's time for us to go. Use our talent and our giftings. Remember, if you've took your gift, like that man that had only one talent, if you took your gift and you have buried your gift, I urge you today, dig it up. Dig it up before the Master returns. Because when the Master returns, it's not going to impress Him if you say, no, let me go dig it up. Dig it up today. Use whatever you have. It might not be five, it may only be one, but it's what God has given you to use. Use it for Him and use it well. And then use your finance. Return the first fruits. Utilize faith in free will giving and offering. Now go back to where I started. I've came full circle. 4 years ago, something amazing happened. 4 years ago, it's going to be 5 years. Actually, it's going to be 5 years in just here in a few weeks. We put before you as a church, we took on repainting this entire facility. We took on renting a dumpster, and yes, some things got thrown away that shouldn't have got thrown away. I admit that, but all that's Mike Dillo's fault, and it's okay, you know. But the reality of it is, we asked this church for a little bit more than $10,000 to do what we needed to do when we first came here, and within 6 weeks, God had made a way, and we're still enjoying that today, and God is still doing great things. He has done great things through us. So we've accomplished much in attacking deferred maintenance. We've done a lot in outreach ministries. We've had 4 years, looking at fifth year of Community Fun Day. We had Biker Sunday this year. We collected over 4,000 diapers for the Union Mission. We actually had planned, if the rain hadn't canceled the parade yesterday, we were going to do hot cocoa and candy canes for the Christmas parade here in Blue Well. We have given every student a gift. Most of the time it's been gloves and toboggans in Blue Well School for the past 2 years. And this one's coming up on the third year. We've done other things in helping people in nursing homes and some things like that. We've done a whole lot. But there's a whole lot more we can do. This year alone, we faced a whole lot as we've done a whole lot. This year alone, we had water damage in the church, and some of you all know that. Most of it, it consumed my office and the radio room, and we still don't have all of that back together yet. But that water damage alone required about $2,000 or a little bit more than $2,000 in expenses. We had lightning hit the copiers and some machines, and God blessed us. We were able to claim part of that back on insurance. We've whether you realize it or not, and you probably not, the most of you, but a few months ago, thank you. We have an absolutely wonderful leadership council. You do in this church that represents the body of the church. But we made a decision. After much discussion, we made a decision. We put in new thermostats. Because last year, or for several years, this church has had some electrical bills in the winter months that have exceeded $1,500. $1,200, $1,300, $1,400 is common. So we spent some money to put in thermostats and that are digitally controlled. And Dave gets a notice if the heat's running unnecessarily. And it's all programmed. And these things are smart. It knows when to cool it up and when to heat it up and all that stuff. It knows what the humidity is. It's smarter than your average five-year-old. Smarter than your average pastor, really. The parking lot had holes in it. It had cracks. Some of the cracks, I don't know if you ever paid attention when you was driving across it, but we had some cracks that had opened up to about an inch and a half in width. We had places where the asphalt was breaking down, breaking through. And we made a decision to, the thermostats, you know, the thermostats was about $1,300. We made a decision to do the parking lot. We did the parking lot, the ceiling, the striping, the repairing, the cutouts, and the repairing of pavement. But let me tell you, that ran us nearly, Pam's not in here, is she? That was nearly $12,000, I believe. It was right at $12,000 in repairs to the parking lot. You see, we have to realize that the church just doesn't exist here. The church just doesn't exist and money fall out of heaven. It comes from faithfulness in people. Good stewards of your time, good stewards of your talents, good stewards of your finance. And then, as Barry mentioned in prayer requests or time and offering time, whether you realize it or not, the whole front of this building was at risk of falling off, literally. There was a crevice had opened up between the front door and the two piers on each side, especially on the pier to my left, that I could almost stick my whole fist back in. And the Lord blessed us that the front of our church didn't fall. But that was another $5,000 that we spent out this past year. If you do the math and add all that up, you're talking 12, 17, 18, 19, you're talking to the tune of about somewhere in around about $22,000. Just since about June in building cost. We spent money and we were blessed to do it for Fun Day. We spent money on other things. We'll spend a little bit of money on the toboggans for the Blue Well kids. And listen, I don't want to ever put brick and mortar over top of ministry. But here's what I'm coming to you this morning. As we go into the future, I'm going to keep preaching because I want to pull out of you. I shouldn't have to pull it out of you, but I want to pull out of you. I want to pull out of your giftings. I want to pull out of your talents and I want to pull out of your time. You may say, Pastor, I don't have no time. Yes, you do. It's just according to how you arrange it. We do what we want to do. And also, I want to pull out of your finances, because we right now, we're not broke. I'm not insinuating we're broke, but we're down to 30 days operating money. That's something to praise God for. A lot of churches don't have that, but we're down to 30 days operating money in this church because of the things we've addressed. And this year, I would like for us to, some of my goals are in this church, I would like to install video cameras in this church, especially in the nursery and children's areas for safety reasons. This church needs to be made upgrade safety-wise with panic bars that it does not have. There are things that we need to address, and that's going to continue to cost money. I would like to equip this church where this church could be utilized by people in this community. I want ministries to arise up out of this church that are not going to be ordinary services, but I want ministries to rise up out of this church that are going to help people that are addicts, people that are dealing with social issues, marital issues, whatever the case may be. I envision us having ministries to rise up out of this church that is going to help people that are in need, help people that are hurting. Some of it may happen on this campus. Some of it may not. I envision for us, and listen, I want to tell you again, I don't have that silver bullet. And Sarah and I can't do it alone. We're only two people. And remember, we don't have any more time than you'd have. But it's going to take, do you know what? We sit here, and I know I'm rambling right now, but please be patient with me. We sit right here on the heels of a school that houses 200 students every single day of the school year. This church is setting in a prime location to have an after school program. But it needs somebody to work it. This church is setting in a prime location that could tutor boys and girls that are struggling in school, and some of you are smart enough to do it. This church is right in a place where we, man, we, I tell you what, you know, Carrie and I was, you know, we talk missions all the time. Rick and Latricia, I talk with them about missions all the time, and we hear missionaries talking about the hotbeds of missions work. Let me tell you, a hotbed of missions work is right here in Bluewell. And we are a great missions church, and we've had a fantastic year of missions giving. I want you to know that. But let me tell you, Jerusalem is here. And I don't want us to be, I don't want us to be overlooking what's right in front of us while we're ministering around the world. Although ministering around the world is important, don't misunderstand me. But I want to tell you this. Like this morning in life groups, we talk about water. Water takes the easiest path. Do you know sometimes it's easier for us to write a check and to send it to missions than it is for us to give of our time and talent to minister right here in Bluewell? And that doesn't downplay the necessity of world missions. But what I am saying to us is this. We have a hotbed of ministry all around us. If we got every person saved within 2 miles of this church, we would not have enough church. Wow. So what I'm asking you to do is commit yourself to time. Commit your giftings. And I'm going to ask our ushers to come back this morning. And I know this is a little bit out of the ordinary service for me. I realize that. And I appreciate your patience. Pam, if you all would like to come back. Just take a few of those and just hold on before you start going. Go ahead and go right on into it, Chase. Whatever you want to do. We got some pens. You're more than welcome to keep the pen, okay? That's your gift this morning. But here's what I want you to do. Is these ushers hand you these cards. They're cards of commitment. This is not strange to us. We do it for missions every spring. But this is a card of commitment for the ministries for 2019, above and beyond 2019 at Voice of Praise Worship Center. And it's asking for a commitment of your giftings and talents, a commitment of your time, and a commitment of your finance. In the next 3 months, starting with this month in December, we're going to receive a Happy Birthday Jesus offering, December 23rd. I would ask how many of you spent more money than you should for Christmas, but I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. But I'll tell you something, who is worthier to receive a gift of my finance than Jesus Christ? December 23rd, we're going to do a Happy Birthday Jesus offering. Y'all go ahead and start playing. Go ahead and hand these out. That's fine. Sunday, January 20th. January is the month of resolutions. We're going to do a resolute offering. We're making a firm decision that we're going to stand with Christ in the work He's doing in Bluewell. And then Sunday, February 17th, the month of love. We're going to do an offering of love. But let me tell you what we need. To restore, you already heard what I said, what we have spent to date in just in building repairs and maintenance this year. Let me tell you something. The Lord blessed us. We applied to our conference office. The conference blessed us with a grant of around $3,200. And the conference rebated a portion of my personal tithe back to the church. But we still have a need of about $20,000 to replenish our treasury to take us back to a 90-day operating supply in the budget. I believe we can be back there. I believe we can be back at 90% or 90 days operating income by the 1st of March because I believe you're going to give. I believe we're going to be able to do ministries and increase ministries because you're going to give of your giftings, your time, and your talent. I believe that we are going to see people saved because our level of stewardship is going to increase and we're going to see God do some miraculous things through us. So here's what I want you to do. Don't just do it to be doing it, but I want you to do it with sincerity. I want you to do it with every intention of keeping your commitment. I want you to note how much time that you will commit with your giftings. What of your giftings that you will commit. I want you to note how much of your time that you will try to commit to the kingdom of God. And then I want you to commit to some, in this next 90 days, I want you to commit to some finance. And in doing so, I think we're going to see some great and mighty things happen among us. You can give to this church by writing check. You can give it in cash. If you want a tax deduction, you can give your whole commitment by the end of the year and get a tax deduction for this year. You can go on to our website and you can give at VOPWC.org, or you can go to our app. If you got a smartphone, download the Voice of Praise app and you can follow a link there to give. But whatever God puts on your heart, do so out of kingdom purpose and worship to Him. And even if you don't commit to something today, and I hope you do, even if you don't commit to something today, know this, God is still calling every single one of us, no one's exempt, to be good stewards of what He's given us. Voice of Praise Worship Center, you're great. You're great. In fact, I'll say this, you're tremendous. You are a tremendous church. And this has been a tremendous church through the years in its community. But I believe it's time for a comeback. I believe it's time for not only a comeback, I believe it's time for us to go beyond. And I've got a message I'm going to preach, probably the last message of this year, Lord willing. But I've got a message I'm going to preach, and I'm going to tell you all about it right now. But I want you to know this, we're going to come back, but it's probably not going to be like it was before. It's going to be different. But God be willing that we give ourselves up to Him in our giftings, talents, and in our time and our finance. I want us to stand to our feet right now as we worship one more time before we leave this place today.